hide. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting time, and I hope everybody again has had a good day today, and hope everybody enjoyed their Sunday night at home resting and reflecting. And wow, I think Brother Ceylon, I think I had a 3-hour nap on Sunday afternoon. I just went to sleep and woke up and looked at my watch and I said, that's right, no church tonight. Because if we were having church, I'd be in trouble. And but anyway, so good to be here. And we're going to jump right into things. I want to have special prayer tonight for the Palmers, Leonard and Dolores. And we'll still all join around at the altar, those who would like to. But normally we have silent prayer, but we'll have audible, out loud prayer tonight. I really want to lift them up. Leonard and Dolores are in South Carolina. Is it South Carolina? Okay. I can, for the life of me, not separate South and North Carolina. I know South is on bottom, North is on top. I know that. I just don't know as far as cities and stuff like that. But anyway, they are there. Got word. Miss Dolores, actually, she messaged me at 2:00 this morning, and the doctors took Leonard off of his trial medication altogether, and it's not working. And so they're going up there to stay with their son, Lynn, for a little extra help. Miss Dolores has her hands full tonight, and we just need the Lord to intervene in a great way in Brother Leonard's life. And let's just lift her up in prayer, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for others, but that will be our main prayer tonight. They got a lot to do. They got to come back down for doctors on Monday. Just a lot of things with their home, a lot of appointments, just a lot of care for Leonard. And so Miss Dolores, she's in a difficult place right now, as Brother Leonard is. You know, we certainly will pray for them. If they were around here, we could do more for them. Of course, we did extend our care for them if they need anything. But, you know, they're just really out of our reach physically. But let's just remember them in our prayers. That'll be great. Of course, his cancer has metastasized and spread. And his fall that happened did not help matters. Miss Dolores, again, she has some appointments she has to attend for herself. And so let's just, again, just remember the Palmers, please. Diane Ely, as she recovers from her back surgery, her infection, she has to go every day for 6 weeks, is what I believe Brother Randy said, every day for 6 weeks. Just need to lift them up. Terrible time. Third back surgery this new year. Two of them, I guess, was last at the end of last year. One this new year, something like that. But at any rate, she's just trying to get better herself. Miss Connie Teague, she's still at home recovering from her stomach surgery. She's nauseated. She's struggling with pain. She is getting better, but it's just taking a while. It's taken a long while for her, so please remember her. CeCe and Chuck, they're getting better. Both Chuck was sick first, then CeCe. Chuck's a little bit better now. Miss CeCe's following suit where Chuck was at. And so let's just pray for them. My grandmother, she'll be getting ready to have back surgery soon. It's a hard call at her age what to do. And but the thing about it is if she's doing nothing, then her health will deteriorate much quicker. And so she's pretty much healthy. The doctors just said, you know, if you do a couple things, I believe, lose just a few pounds or something, then the doctors will approve and have the surgery. So, but basically, she's been getting shots in her back for 10 years, and she has zero cartilage in between a couple of discs. So she's walking through the house on the walker. So she needs our prayers as well. Also, I'm not really sure. Brother Randy in the back may have an update. I'm not mentioning no names, but there is a grandmother of a couple kids at our children's home. I was told not to mention the names of the kids, but their grandmother had open heart surgery this morning at 6. No updates. Okay. I was told I could mention that much about it. Just, you know, that's just protocol there with some families. So, but the grandmother is, from what I hear, is up in age, and has COVID and has diabetes and has to have all of her, I was told, all valves replaced. I don't know how many valves are in the human heart, but maybe I misunderstood, maybe they did, I don't know. But nonetheless, they can't go up through the groin or anything. They have to open heart surgery. And so this is a big deal. It's weighing heavy on the hearts of those at the children's home, the house parents and leadership. I spoke with some of them today and yesterday, and it is a burden. It is a burden of theirs. This grandmother is the only one that's of sound mind and attached to the family of the kids. And so we just need the Lord to move in a big way. So let's please remember that. Speaking as the children's home, just remember all the house parents and all those in position and all of our children, school, and everything that follows that. And let's continue to remember Harold Dolphin, his granddaughter, Anna Kate, and her health, and all the biopsies and sores she had taken out of her mouth. I believe she's 16, 17, something like that, years old, maybe 15. But let's remember her. I know that's terrible to go through, as well as Brother Harold and his ailments. He's fighting. Miss Cassie, you go back Friday? Friday to complete your surgery, oral mouth surgery. Okay. So let's remember Miss Cassie on that. Miss Dawn Daly, she's still trying to get better from her fall. Another thing about Miss Dolores, I just remembered, she has a UTI on top of all things. But again, Miss Dawn Daly and what she's going through, trying to recover. Miss Connie Norton, remember Miss Claudia Darby in your prayers as well. Don and Carla Rich, everybody over there in Peru and the work that's going on there. Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook, Jamie Carden. I just want to mention some upcoming things right quick, and then I'll open up the floor for anybody else that has anything. On the 23rd, that's not this coming up Sunday, but next Sunday will be Youth Sunday. As of right now, we will have a baptism service to kick that off. So I'll be in the tank, Brian will be behind the pulpit, and then Sunday night CJ will stand and bring the lesson, the message. So that's what the 23rd is looking like. And so be looking out for that. That's going to be a great day here at the church. All right, no CLU this Sunday. This is on the heels of course, Jubilee, and so you have the month off, this month's meeting off. But do remember, tomorrow, the LPB meeting. Yeah, everything else has abbreviations. I just came up with this, Ladies Prayer Brunch. All right, remember that 11 o'clock, supposed to be some special soup. Yeah, beef bally. Okay, sounds interesting. All right, so remember that. Just a great time of fellowship and in the Lord. So it'll be a great time tomorrow. Just remember that. And of course, we're getting ready to take off in some areas this spring. with outreach. Before you know it, school's going to be letting out, vacation Bible school, you know, kids out of school, things like that. We got a couple things that we're praying about and potentially, hopefully, prayerfully, we'll be introducing to you here soon concerning the few, the ongoing ministry here at the church this year, just a couple new ideas. So be on the lookout for that. We're really wanting to continue things strong. All right. I'll open up the floor. Maybe someone has a prayer request. Miss Lee Ellen. Okay. Hip surgery. Oh, wow. So I was pretty much certain it wasn't going to be a hip replacement. Just, but any kind of surgery is big. So let's remember this, the shot as well. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I was going to say, you got a prayer partner right there on the dentistry. Miss Cassie, we're praying for you, buddy. I just don't like the dentist. I appreciate them. I just don't like the visits. Absolutely. Don Cap. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Well, again, it is good to be here tonight. Let's do remember our young people downstairs and the teachers, and just remember safety while we have church tonight. You know, it's hard to believe that you have to pray such a thing, but you do. It's prayer for safety while we're in here. And let's remember our missionaries, all of our first responders, all of those protecting us in our homeland, and our president and troops and leaders and the world. All right? So all that would, if you'd meet us down here tonight, Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. Lord,
first and foremost, we just want to thank you for being in charge, Lord. Lord, there's times where we feel like just because things are out of our control that we're going to sink and lose ourselves somewhere in the spread of things. But God, tonight we know better. Lord, we know that you're in control. You have all power. You're everywhere at the same time. You know all things. Tonight, oh Lord, we lift up to you the Palmers in prayer, how their life dynamic is changing drastically and dramatically. Lord, they're in South Carolina tonight, and Brother Leonard is struggling to get better. Not to mention just the moving dilemma they're in. They're going to be up there for a while, traveling. Father, this is beyond them. This is beyond their ability to just control and make sure that things go well. I pray, Lord, that you do make sure.
you have your Bibles tonight, you can make your way to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, and of course we'll have the verses on the screen as well. You can follow along there. But on Sunday morning, we were in Ephesians 3, verse number 14 through 21. And of course, no church Sunday night. And I actually want to continue that message from Sunday morning. Tonight we're going to look out of Ephesians 3, specifically from verse number 17 down through 21. And we began talking Sunday morning on Paul's powerful prayer. So this would be Paul's powerful prayer, part 2. All right. I just want to recap what we looked at Sunday morning briefly, and which we had 3 points Sunday morning, and I got 3 points tonight to conclude this message. But we mentioned before we even began on Sunday morning that we really felt like after Jubilee that the subject of prayer would be a great way to finish Jubilee, and it's really hard to believe. Jubilee came and Jubilee gone. And but we started with prayer before Jubilee, and I just feel like the subject of prayer would be a great way to close out Jubilee. This Pauline prayer is for all of us. Again, our theme verse during the week of our revival was verse number 20 of Ephesians 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And I love that verse. You love that verse, I'm sure. But we wanted to look at the surrounding verses that give a better picture of that verse and what that verse actually means. And so we began looking at the calls on Sunday morning. The calls. Verse 14, Paul says, and again this is to the Ephesians, For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cause was twofold. The reason for this prayer is because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. We see that in verse number 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And he goes down through there and he mentions that, you know, I want you to know basically more about the Word. I want you to grow in the Word. And I want all of these things for you Gentiles. And it's almost like Paul got, I don't want to say sidetracked with all of that, because it needed to be mentioned, but he got back to the "for this cause." Again, verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we mentioned the cause for the prayer had to do with Paul praying because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. But also he was praying this prayer because he was prisoner to the Lord. It says that in verse number 1. And it also says that in verse number 13, that Paul did not want the Gentiles, those in Ephesus, the Ephesians, to faint over his tribulations. They would see him and hear about him being in jail, hear about, you know, his physical problems, and they loved him so much, why it would bother them, and there was the potential for them to get discouraged. And so the cause for this prayer was to encourage the Gentiles, Paul being the apostle to the Gentiles, and Paul being prisoner. He wanted to encourage them not to faint at his bonds or not to faint because of his trials. He says, there's an inner man that can empower me, Paul speaking, and can empower you. So we talked about the cause of this prayer. And then we mentioned the Creator to whom Paul prayed this prayer. In verse number 15, he says, of whom? Again, in verse number 14, toward the end of that one verse, he says, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom? Of whom? Speaking about God the Father. And he says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And so he mentions the Creator here, and Paul is bowing his knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth, in heaven and earth is named. We mentioned that not only the Creator, meaning God here, but he mentions is named, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Well, we said that to be named by God is to belong to Him. I don't believe the verses here is teaching just mere creations of God, because all of God's creations, humanly speaking, are not in heaven. All right? And so to be named by God is to belong to Him, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So Paul is literally, he's hitting his knees and he's praying to the Father, God the Father, who has named the family in heaven and earth. And so he is, I mean, listen, he is recognizing how big God is. He is recognizing how powerful God is. I mean, all the family in heaven, all the family on earth, the Creator, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's who I'm bowing my knees to. And really, when it comes to this topic of prayer for your life and mine, we ought not to yawn at it. It's easy to do, you know, to yawn when it comes to the topic of prayer. But prayer ought to revitalize us, because we are bowing, whether we're bowing a knee or bowing our head, or just literally at all times bowing our heart unto Him. We are bowing to our Creator and praying to God through the Son, the one who has made this world, all right? The one who has sent His Son, the one who has saved us through His Son. That's the one that we're bowing to. And the Bible says that there is a throne room that we can enter into to find what we need, grace and mercy and all of those things. And so tonight we mentioned that Sunday. We mentioned the cause of this prayer, and then we mentioned the Creator to whom Paul prayed. But then I believe we concluded with the call to be strengthened in prayer. Verse number 16, he says, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. I want to pause right quick and just say this, because it just popped in my head and I feel like I need to say it. Just because we have the availability to connect to God through the Son in prayer, and yes, there's resources available, that doesn't mean that we won't suffer here. I mean, you already know that. That don't mean we won't feel emotional pain. I think sometimes that a lot of these TV preachers, or even some local preachers, may project the gospel as you pray, God will take it away. You know, listen, there is grace to help in time of need. Don't get me wrong. He will keep thou in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. But at the same time, there is a real wrestle, okay? So don't beat yourself up. Don't feel like God is blind to your situation just because you may have some anxiety or be experiencing fear. We all experience those things, especially when you're a soldier for the Lord. You experience those things. Like one preacher said one time, the devil don't deal with dead ducks, all right? He wants the live ones. And so he says again in verse number 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. We talked about that. How rich is God? He is inexhaustibly rich. His riches are inexhaustible. He has plenty of grace, plenty of mercy, plenty of forgiveness, plenty of love. I love what Psalm 23 says in that last verse. It don't say it specifically like this, but I heard it, and I like to say it, that we're being stalked by the goodness of the Lord, all right, and the grace of God. We are being followed all the days of our life by the goodness of God, and His grace shall follow us. As David said, we're being stalked. We can't outrun God's goodness and grace and mercy and love. We can't do it. It's always there. And so His riches, the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, don't turn there, I'll just give it to you, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so His riches are inexhaustible. We talked about that. This is the call in prayer Paul had to be strengthened, not only for the Ephesians, but for all of us. Now, he says again in verse number 16, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. All right, Paul is three verses in, and he's mentioned the Trinity already. He's mentioned God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All right, I like saying Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit's fine, but I like saying Holy Ghost. But that Holy Spirit, that Holy Ghost, The Holy Ghost is telling us is in the believer to empower the believer. He says, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. All right? He can strengthen, the Holy Ghost can strengthen our minds. He can strengthen our hearts. He can strengthen our bodies, even physically. The Holy Ghost can. Anything having to do with the inner man, the Holy Ghost has a way of strengthening us. And we see that here, that He would grant you, according to His riches and glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. We said that the Trinity can be mentioned this way. The Father, God the Father, is God out of flesh. God the Son is God in flesh. And God the Holy Ghost is God in our flesh. So it's as simple as that. We have power to keep going on. All right, now this leads me to my fourth point. And tonight we're going to cover 4, 5, and 6. Sunday morning when we concluded at the invitation, we did cover the last point in part, but we're going to back up and go over it again. All right, so when it comes to Paul's powerful prayer, in verse number 17 down through verse number 19, we have the Christ of our prayer. The Christ. Verse number 17 says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Let's just stop there. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Let's take that one line and look at it, because it can appear kind of tricky with the whole word faith here. Does that mean if I believe Christ? Does that mean if I exercise faith daily, he's gonna dwell in my heart? What about the days I don't? It's not talking about that. I believe it's talking about the operation of faith, the act of faith. Faith is the door. In other words, faith is the means by which indwelling takes place. I believe he's talking about salvation here. That's just what I believe. All right, because if he's not talking about salvation, and he's talking about faith as an action, then that's a work. And he dwells in our hearts by the very act of faith, by the operation of faith, the new birth. So, indwelling of Jesus, the indwelling of him, takes place by saving faith, by faith. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So I want to mention not only in verse 17 that first sentence having to do with Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith, but what about that second phrase? That ye, that you, that me, being rooted and grounded in love. The next step after salvation is getting rooted and grounded. We get rooted and grounded by love and by operating out of love. Look at the word here in verse 17, rooted. That word rooted means firmly established. He tells us to get firmly established. Christ's love should be firmed up in our hearts. We ought to operate out of His love. So Christ's love, it ought to be firm. A lot of people can't operate out of love because they never met the love of Christ. They never met Christ and His love. That's why a lot of people can't operate out of love, because they've never met love. But then there's another category of those of us who have met Christ, and we are going through this exercise of choosing to operate out of the love that we have met. And so we ought to be rooted. I believe a person can get saved and never get rooted in Jesus. I say that because there's times where people get saved and they think it's it. In a lot of local Baptist churches, they fall short. This church is trying not to fall short in that area, but they fall short in discipleship, showing them how to live out what they have on the inside. Well, let the first storm come by and it just knock them off their feet. But then some believers, some Christians who've been saved for a number of years, still haven't grown any in the Lord. And what happens? They're fine. They'll go to church whenever, you know, things are good. But the first storm that comes, they're out of church. It's because they have not laid down roots. Laid down roots in the Lord. And so we see that we must be firmly established. And Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted. But then he says, and grounded in love. Another word for grounded is founded. Okay? Grounded. Founded. And he says we ought to be grounded. We ought to be founded in love. Now, our relationship with Christ is grounded in love. Because when we accepted Jesus, why, we're saved by His grace. We experience His love in that. And so we have started a relationship with Him grounded in love. I'm glad He didn't turn me away when I called out to Him for salvation. In His love, He saved me. And now, since I'm a Christian, I ought to move my feet on the foundation of love. Now, if our relationship with Christ was founded on love, then our relationships with others should be founded and grounded on love. Our relationships with each other should be grounded in the love of God. Our marital relationships should stem from our relationship with Christ, which was founded and grounded in love. Our relationships maritally. I'll never be able to be the husband Christy needs unless I operate out of the love of Christ. Two becoming one, You know, we celebrated 20 years, and some of you have been married double, triple than that. But still to this day, there's a surrender that's necessary on both parts. And so when a couple recognizes that he can't fix her, she can't fix him, not that we're trying to fix each other, but we've tried. Then what do? You resort to your Savior. And when both are dependent upon him, it's like this. Someone gave the illustration one time. If the man and the woman, if they come together with Christ in the middle, I mean, it's a picture of the cross. And with Christ in the middle, it'll always bring you together. You want to know why some marriages aren't working today? Because Christ is not the centerpiece of their home. Oh, it's they've done me bad and my spouse has done me bad. They're going to pay. And then, you know, over here the man is like, yeah, she's done me bad and she's going to pay. Listen, it will never get anywhere. It will be a rut. It will be like the children of Israel for 40 plus years, never being able to experience what a true biblical awesome love is. I think his name is, I'm not sure if he's still alive. Somebody tell me if he's not, out loud, if you know. Hal Lindsey, is that First Baptist of Jacksonville, Florida? I believe it's Hal Lindsey. He wrote some books. Brother Berman gave me some way back when. But he wrote some books called A Little Piece of Heaven. And he said that a little piece of heaven is a godly marriage and enjoying it the way God wants you to. You know, a little piece of heaven is having children and enjoying the work and rejoicing in the reward of raising kids. And they will have kids one day, and you have grandkids just... And them rendering back to you, thank you, Mom and Dad, for raising us in God's ways. That's a little piece of heaven. I was sitting there the other night, and of course, Christy leaves work. She comes home to work some more on the laptop. Lily's doing work in the bedroom for school. And, you know, the dog is walking through the house, and I'm sitting there, you know, watching an update on the Braves or something on the sports channel, you know. And I just thought to myself, this is a little piece of heaven. I mean, in my own estimation, thank you, God, you know, that I have a wife of 20 years. Thank you, God, I have a daughter who you just blessed with back surgery. Thank you, God, that I'm able to lay here with ease and have such a position in the church and all of those things. Thank you, Lord. That's my little piece of heaven. And so tonight what I'm trying to say is this. Is that we ought to be rooted and grounded. And that's what Paul is getting at. He's saying, get rooted. Put down some roots in God's word. Don't run away from the storm, but persevere through. Run to his word. Put down some roots, he says, but make sure you're grounded in the love of God as well. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So if our relationships aren't grounded in love, they just simply won't work. All right, let me mention this. Look at verse number 18, if you would. I like this. He says, may be able, of course, this is one verse being built on top of another verse, and there's a graduating verse at the very end. He says, may be able, verse 18, to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. I want to stop there. Paul here, he desires that we should fully comprehend the extent. What is going on in the parking lot? That's okay. Thank you, Brother Bobby, for checking that out for me. That's okay. The extent, Paul, he desires that they should fully comprehend the extent of the love of Christ. Notice what he says here. He mentions the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. These are the dimensions of the love of Christ. Now, I want to say that the dimension of the love of Christ is mentioned in God's Word. Not just here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that's the width, that's the height, the length, and all the above. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the breadth, that's the length, that's the depth, that's the height. From coast to coast, from the North Pole to the South Pole, everything in between, that is the dimension of the love of Christ. And He wants us to be able to comprehend that. And I want to say this, not that you're thinking it, but I want to say it because I just want to say it, okay? Jesus died not just for the white people. Jesus died for the black people. Jesus died for the Latinos. Jesus died for every nationality, every race. Jesus died for everybody. And we ought to know that, because I think sometimes we can stereotype some folks, you know. We can stereotype. We could be like, oh, look at that homeless man over there in front of Walmart. Look at him. He ought to get up and get a job. And listen, there may be some truth to that. But at the end of the day, Jesus died for him. And so we ought to tell him, give him a track. And for the young, for the middle-aged, for the old, for the rich, for the poor, again, any color, any nationality, it doesn't matter. Jesus died for all. And we see that in John 3:16. But no, I want you to notice something else. Just listen to this. Revelation 21, we also see the dimension of the love of Christ. But it's in heaven. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, in Revelation 21, I'm not going to take the time. You can go through there and look at those verses. I believe somewhere along 16, 17, and 18, maybe before that or a little after, it mentions a city that's 1,500 miles square. It's a cube. What is that? That's the dimensions of the love of Christ. And so every time that someone gets saved, that place is filling up. Every time someone gets led to the Lord, that place is filling up. You say, what if there's no more room? Well, if you look on a map, 1,500 miles, I think, and I may lean on Bobby a little bit here. From here to California, is that roughly 1,500 miles? Okay, that's a little further, okay. So, half that, a little bit more than half. Okay, that would be across. That would be a long way from here, from the East Coast, say, I don't know, what, Nevada, something like that, maybe a little closer. And then you turn it upward like that, going to the top of the U.S. All these would be occupants inside of heaven. And you see, the Lord has gone to prepare a place, and which means when He is done working on it, He'll come back and get us. And so if He's still working and we're still here, that means there's still room to go there. And so if I'm saying something tonight that don't make sense or isn't right, y'all just tell me or correct me after church, but I believe I'm right on this. Especially in Revelation 21, when we see the dimensions of heaven, that is the love of Christ. That's the love of God. But also, there's another dimension of the love of Christ. Y'all want to see it? Right there. That's the dimension, the other dimension of the love of Christ, that He would, God the Father would deposit Himself in a virgin womb. God the Son would come among, be born and live among us and live a sinless life and bleed and die for us, be buried in a tomb, and raise again on the third day. That's the dimensions of the love of Christ, is the old rugged cross. And I'm glad tonight, like the song says, that while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And you were on his mind as well. So Paul is saying this. He said, hey, listen, Ephesians, I really want you to grasp this. I really want you to know the love of Christ, because it passeth knowledge, that you might be, he says in verse number 19, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So in back up in verse number 18, he wants us to comprehend the love of Christ, and he mentions the dimensions. Verse number 19, he wants us to know it. He wants us to experience it. He wants us to operate from it. And he says, when we do that, we will experience the fullness of God. Now, Sunday I said the fullness of God is different from our position in Christ. Our position in the Lord, whenever we get saved, positionally before God, we are saved and we are headed for eternity in heaven by Jesus. But on a very practical level, a day-to-day living out, are we really full of God? Are we full of Him? He says that there's room to be filled. He says, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so the goal is to be strengthened tonight by the power of the inner man, or in the inner man, by His Spirit. That's the goal if we're saved. And then to experience and know the love of Christ, which is beyond comprehension. And then once we are strengthened, and once we start to understand a little more deeply the love of Christ, then we begin to walk in a little more fullness of spirit with Him. We begin to be a little more full of God because we're understanding God more. It's simple. It's really simple. You put more God in, you'll be more filled with God. Not talking about salvation. Just talking about a walk. All right? A day-to-day walk. And so we see the Christ of our prayers. But then let me mention this. The catalyst of our prayers. Verse number 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, we just got into that just a moment ago, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The love of Christ is our catalyst to operate. How do you handle a particular situation? Think about the love of Christ. Think about how He operated out of love. And this is our catalyst. This is how we handle things. We operate out of love. And he says, when we do that, we will be filled with the fullness of God. And to know, experiential knowledge, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Do I, Justin Hales, always love like I should love? No. Do I, Justin Hales, always respond godly? No. Do I always do the right thing all the time? No. Ask my wife. Now you can ask my daughter. When you was a toddler, you could only ask my wife because the toddler didn't know. But now you could ask both, and you could ask the dog. He'll say, "Ooh, you need help." No, I have room to grow. All of us have room to grow. You want to know why? Because there's only one perfect person, and that's Jesus. All of us. That's why this prayer is in the Bible, is because Paul wanted them to grow as Christians. Paul, listen, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul was a prisoner of the Lord. He was going through many trials. He didn't want them fainting at his trials and tribulations. He was telling them, you can be strengthened like I'm strengthened by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he says that I want you to be strengthened, and I want you to experience the love of Christ, and I want you to grow and be filled with God, is what he's saying. So that's the catalyst, in my estimation, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ. And once we know and experience this love of Christ on deeper levels, then we will be filled more with God in a very practical way. We will be kinder to others. We will be more loving to others. We will say nicer things. We will respond better. That's being more filled with God. That's operating out of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me mention this, and we're done. The conclusion. This is what I kind of got into on Sunday morning at the very end, at the invitation time. But verse 20 and 21. Verse 20, he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. So verse number 20 we see, and 21 we see the conclusion. He says, "Now unto him that is able." That is able. This is a graduating prayer. He has started on level one, the base level, which was to be strengthened. And then he went to level number two to understand love. And now level number three, the ultimate climax, and that is to understand that God is able. This is really a praise prayer at this point, because he's making a statement. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And so in verse number 20, we see that this is a praise. Verse 21, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." That is the continuing of that praise, verse 21. Now backing up to verse number 20, and we'll be through tonight. He says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." I will say this in conclusion. Whatever you're praying about, God is able to answer that prayer. He is able to exceed that prayer. He's done that in our life. Now, at the same time, how do we place that last phrase in here? "According to the power that worketh in us." I think that we can place that, and what we can commentate on that, we can say, the same way that Paul was talking about being strengthened by the Holy Ghost, that's what on the inside of us, the same way he's talking about knowing the love of Christ and operating and being filled with God, he's saying, whatever it is that you're going through, God is able to get you through it. Not only is he able to get you through it, but he can exceed your expectations. There's some things that I thought I wouldn't get through. There's some things that I thought that I would surely, I mean, I thought I would fold up. I mean, I would just come and say, Ceylon, I can't do it no more. I can't pastor no more. It's too much. I just can't do it. I got to give up. So how am I still here? Let me say this. This is our third church that we pastored. And the first one was 3 years. The second one, it was right at 3 years. And we did some associate pastor. We did interim pastor work in there. So we pastored. This is the third church. This July will be 7 years that we've been the pastor here, that you have allowed us to be the pastor here. What is that? Well, the first two places, I didn't get beyond 3 years, Brother Ceylon. You want to know how me and my family has made it 7 years as pastor here? It's because I know unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God's the one that has allowed us to have the joy of being your pastor for going on 7 years. That's the only way I can describe it. We've had some ups, we've had some downs, we've had some ins, we've had some outs, but look, we're all in a boat on the ocean stormy sea, and sometimes there's sunny days, other days it's stormy days, but we're still rocking and rowing, aren't we? We are boat rowers, not boat rockers. And it's all because of the Lord. And so whatever it is you're going through tonight, I just want to encourage you by this prayer. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you, you can get through it. You can be strengthened. You can operate out of love. You can love the unlovable. You can be strengthened to continue on. And you can experience God's ability to do amazing things and not give up. Not because of you, but because of him and his dependability. So that's part two of the message tonight. Paul's powerful prayer. And the whole idea or intention for the message part one and two in its entirety is just encourage us to keep going on. There's help that's on the way. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight. We praise you for all things. I pray, oh God, that you would just use this lesson to be a blessing to us and all that are listening, those that are watching online, oh God. And I pray that you would give us the right words for Sunday morning and Sunday night. We want something fresh. And Lord, I want something straight from you, Lord. That manna to feed your people, Lord. And I know I must be fed first, but then your people. So, Lord, I pray that you would accomplish the miraculous toward the end of this week and then on Sunday. We love you tonight, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, well, that concludes service tonight. Does anybody got anything they want to mention before we leave? All right, well, if that's it, you can be dismissed. Thank you so very much for being here. Be safe out there.